Hey, come on in, and welcome to Entrepreneurs Can Party. Let me show you around. This is an entrepreneurship podcast for business owners, entrepreneurs, creatives, and those aspiring to be so. The aim is to introduce you to inspiring, like-minded people who are doing what they love every single day and are having so much fun in the process. You see, business can and should be fun. You'll have the opportunity to hear their stories, be given tools and advice to succeed, and to taste what is possible when you think and dream bigger. Me? I'm your host, Scott Stockdale, and I'll be learning just as much as you as I show you around. It's my job as a fellow entrepreneur to tease out their habits, routines, successes, failures, favourite resources, books, etc, etc. All that good stuff. Alrighty, make yourself at home, grab yourself a drink, and let's get this party started. Hey, hey, welcome to episode 134 of Entrepreneurs Can Party. I'm your host, Scott, and on today's show, I'm joined by Kate Hoare-Lacey. She is a business strategist, mindset mentor, and sales yogi. Values-driven service providers who struggle with sales hire her to claim their impact, get clients, and get paid. Having started her career as a professional singer, Kate switched lanes to sales and has since addressed worldwide audiences through summits, videos, and workshops. With over 30,000 followers of her daily videos, she's also been named a LinkedIn sales star. In essence, Kate helps good people make great money. Kate truly does know her stuff when it comes to sales, so if you are looking to get more clients for your business or bring in more revenue through products that you sell, Kate can give you plenty of advice here, but also on her website, katehoarelacey.com. With that being said, I hope you enjoy today's episode with the wonderful Kate Hoare-Lacey. So, hey, Kate, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott, it's great to be here.
It is a pleasure to chat with you. We've been having, it's been in the works for a little while, this conversation, so it's a real pleasure to finally make it happen. And to listeners, I'm sure we'll dig into, Kate is currently in Australia, so it is currently late. She's zooping up on black tea or black coffee, I think you said it was. So before we dive into all things sales and mindset and all this sort of good stuff, which is something I, for one, I'm very interested in. A quick question I'd like to ask all my guests, which I believe you may be aware of, but you may have forgotten what you said during the initial conversation we had. Do you have a party trick or hidden talent that people might not be aware of?
So I don't know how aware people would be of this with me. What I used to do was I used to belt out a tune at parties and stuff, and my friends especially would get me up to just belt out a tune. It could be anywhere. And that's actually what happened when I was at this massive party one time, and it was actually quite an embarrassing story about kind of how it went down. But from kind of facing some resistance around getting up and belting out this tune, I actually got kind of discovered to be and became a professional singer. That was, before I went on my entrepreneurial journey. But it was an awesome journey. But, that's kind of how I became a singer, actually, just by belting out this tune. So now that I've become a professional singer for so long, I don't actually really do that as a party trick now, because it feels a little bit wanky to be a singer and go, hey, here's my party trick, everyone. Did you know I was a singer? That's kind of how that happened.
Oh, I had no idea that was how you got discovered, because I did see 10 years of experience, I believe, or over 2,000 gigs, or maybe a combo of those two things, which is amazing in itself. And can you remember, like, did someone approach you as you were belting out a tune? Like, how did that conversation happen?
Yeah, so it was this beautiful, massive mansion in Vaucluse, which is this really ritzy suburb in Sydney. And it was a friend's party, and his parents were there as well, and parents' friends. It's his New Year's party. So there were a whole lot of young people and a whole lot of older people. So they asked me to do it about 8 o'clock p.m., which is fine. And I belt out this tune. It's like Grace Knight's version of The Way We Were, which is kind of appropriate. And there are a few people tearing up and saying, oh, that was just so wonderful. Mm. And that was fine, right? But then at... that might have been 8 or 10 o'clock, and then at 12 o'clock, the guy's dad comes home, who's this really wealthy guy. guy, and his mum came up and said, can you please sing the song again? And by that stage, you know, the party was starting to get a little bit messy and the music was turned up, and it just really wasn't appropriate to turn the music down and sing this same bloody song that I'd already sung. So I'm like, not really, but I said, oh, look, I guess yes. I mean, how can you say no to the, you know, the owner of the house and stuff? So I'm like, ah. Yeah, but I really didn't want to. But I did it, and people were like, yeah, that's pretty good, you know, whatever. but the owner of the party liked it. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, the owner of the party comes up and says, Kate, I need you to sing that song again. And by then I was just like, no way, there's no way. I mean, I'd had a few drinks. By then all the older people had pretty much gone home. Everyone was just getting really messy on the dance floor. And, you know, the music was super loud. And to have to turn down that music and sing that same song again, I mean, it was just, you know, hideous. But he said, look, you know, this guy's a singer and you need to sing this song. And the way he said it and the way he looked at me, I thought, oh, you know, this is an opportunity. Either give in to my resistance and say no, definitely not, because it's hideously embarrassing. I mean, it was never that comfortable for me to do anyway, let alone the same song three times and in this situation. but I felt like there was an opportunity there, and I did it, and that's how I kind of and then he said, look, you know, my singer's going to London. You've got a great voice. Do you want to be my singer? And that's how I kind of fell into that. So yes, it was an embarrassing story, but but I kind of use it because I think that in my life, certainly, that it's usually when I've got a lot of resistance around doing something that I have big breakthroughs. And it's been similar, like you might find out later on in the podcast if we get there, but I think with a lot of us, you know, when we've got a lot of resistance around something, a lot of the time, if we can just face that resistance, we can oftentimes get to that next level that we're really wanting to get to. Maybe not everyone. I know a lot of entrepreneurs are really brave, but I'm certainly not. I sometimes am brave and sometimes not. But I think, if we can face our resistance, and especially when it comes to sales, a lot of entrepreneurs hate sales. They want to do every other part of the job but their sales, and so they put off their sales and marketing, and of course that doesn't go so well for them. But when they finally face up to it and go, okay, this is something that, sure, I'm resisting, sure, I'm afraid, but I'm just going to get in there and do it, that's oftentimes when they can have those breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I'm sure we will, yeah, cover this in more detail. And you talk about this resistance, I was curious, with the years of experience you've had in singing, do you think that, you know, have you had moments where you've been, I don't know, you've had doubts in your own ability to sing, you've faced that internal resistance, or have you had moments where people have publicly, you know, booed you or anything, you know, those sort of horrible moments you hear about a singer's face? Is there anything like that kind of springs to mind for you?
Interesting. I was actually pretty, like, singing to me is a bit like talking. I just never really put a lot of thought into it. I just generally, I mean, I could be watching Jurassic Park at 10 p.m., get out and then walk on stage like 10 minutes later if the gig was 10 minutes down the road. So I actually was always pretty comfortable singing. I did play a few gigs where, you know, there were barely any people there, but I'd always just give my absolute everything. And I remember, like, a city gig, there were just tons of like 19, 20 year olds, and they'd kind of grown up with, I guess, just dance music and not used to clapping. So I basically said to everybody, I said, like, okay, guys, here's the deal. So I'm a singer and I sing, and then at the end of the song, you guys clap. So let's give it a practice. And 1, 2, 3, and clap, here we go. And then everyone's like, okay, all right, this is what we're meant to do. Because before then, they kind of, you could see they were kind of liking it, but it was almost like they were on some sort of reality TV and they were really self-conscious about, like, you know, who's looking at me and what's everyone else doing and all this stuff. I'm like, okay, everyone, just let's relax. Let's just, you know, get in there, have a good time. And that's what I used to love about singing. I used to love picking songs for the audience and then just trying to get everyone united, everyone just forgetting that everyone's a separate little entity, and throwing their arms around each other, singing along, having a great time, just forgetting about themselves and just, you know, having some fun for a bit.
Yeah, that's really cool. I would never think to do that myself. I can't sing for toffee. I'm like the world's worst singer, even in the shower.
Well, you've got a nice voice, though. Nice baritone voice there. You've got a really nice tone. It's often a lot about tone. So, you know, you probably can. Yeah.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. I would love to. It is something I would like to practice. Just not a priority at the moment, but yeah, definitely in the future. So I may tap you up for some tips further down the line. You're talking about, I guess, giving people permission to give them permission to clap. I think that's a really interesting point. Do you feel like, we will come dig into sales in more detail, but just to kind of, I guess, introduce it briefly, does that permission kind of carry through to a lot of your clients? Like, is it a matter of giving people permission to accept they can ask for sales and they can make that happen?
Yeah, that's actually, it's so true. This is, yeah, and the weird thing is, see, I was really good in sales when I was working for other people. You know, I started when I was 19. But when I started my own business, I was like the crowd in that place where I was singing that time. I was really self-conscious, like all the attention was on me and, you know, what are people going to think? Plus I was a sales coach. So I'm like, they're going to think that I'm selling to them. I don't want them to think I'm salesy. You know, I don't want to use any of these salesy things. I just want them to say yes. So I was actually a really sucky salesperson when I first started in my business. Great at training other people how to do it. But, you know, when I first started, they had to pretty much beat me over the head and say, look, so how do we work together? You know, because I was using so little sales because I hadn't given myself permission to sell. And you're absolutely right. It's kind of like I think we have to give ourselves permission to, well, you know what, to take all of the attention off ourselves and put it on the people that we're speaking to. And if we've done our job really well, we're attracting ideal clients who we know that we can help. And, you know, their next best step usually is to either buy our program or to work with us. So we've got to get over ourselves, over our own fears about what they're going to think and, you know, because most of it is down to fear, you know, fear of being judged, fear of being, you know, thought of as salesy or all after the money or whatever it is, which of course we're not. A lot of us are, you know, most of us are doing it for, you know, for other reasons. I know myself, I really wanted just to help people. I would almost do it for free, especially when I first started. Yeah, so we have to kind of take the attention off ourselves, put it on the other person and get over ourselves and give ourselves permission to ask for the sale, permission to have a good structure that we can practice and get better at, feel confident with, and so that we can do more of what we came here to do, so we can touch more lives, so that we can help more people, so we can work with more people, gain more confidence, and then it becomes like this wonderful circle of, you know, confidence, feeling better about selling, working with more people, getting more testimonials, feeling more confident, and so it goes.
Yeah, definitely. So just to kind of fill in a bit of the blanks for the listener, so they've heard the intro, so they know kind of in a nutshell how you kind of came into sales, you know, from your journey of, as we've touched on, through singing and then into sales. But the actual transition, I'd be curious to dig into a bit more for, yeah, kind of fill in the gaps. So I believe you trained one of your friends because she asked you for sales tips, and then from there you kind of fell into it. Is that kind of on the right lines? And yeah, maybe expand on that a little bit.
No, that's exactly right. It was like around 1500 gigs. I stopped counting at about 1500 gigs. I must have done well over that, like up to 9 gigs a week. And I was starting to feel really just kind of like I wasn't living my best life. But it is hard to kind of know what to do after you, like I had been in sales and, you know, done quite good things, you know, making like, you know, 30 grand as a, you know, 20 something year old and, you know, per month. And I didn't really know what else to do. So I'm quite spiritual and I asked the universe for my next step. So I'm like, you know, yeah, what do I do here? You know, what is my next calling? And within a couple of days, one of my best friends had just done this sale, this launch, and she spent like $5,000 on this launch. No one was signing up. And she's like, Kate, I hate sales. Wish I didn't have to do it. Used to be good at sales. Can you please give me a hand? So, of course, I said yes and started training her. And she got really good results really quickly. And she started saying, you know, I'm actually really starting to enjoy this. This is really fun. And so many people I work with go from saying I hate sales to actually going, this is fun. Because, you know, once they just kind of learn a little bit of how to do it. Yeah, but it was just surprising to me that there are so many smart entrepreneurs who are so good at what they do, but they just haven't had this kind of sales experience that I almost grew up with because I got into it quite early. And it is one of those great things that people, it doesn't take people that long to learn, and then they can get quite quick results a lot of the time if they're doing a lot of the other stuff really well. And yeah, so that's when I discovered this wonderful thing of teaching entrepreneurs how to sell so they can start really shining and doing more in their business and working with more people.
Amazing. And I wanted to read out a review that came through. It's on your profile on LinkedIn, so I'm just going to flip very quickly. But the reason I wanted to read it out is because I've never read such a glowing review on LinkedIn. And I thought, like, then, wow, it's like, what has Kate done to kind of get this? And I wanted to then kind of dig into it a bit more. So yeah, just to read out, this is going to be super embarrassing for you, Kate, so I do apologize, but it's from a guy called Don D. Nettles, which I think is just an amazing name in itself. And he wrote, so what I admire most about Kate Horlacy is her massive heart space. I registered for her 5 Strategies to 10X Sales Masterclass and was looking so forward to attending and learning for her live. Well, an unexpected broken pair of glasses and an emergency trip to the eye doctor the day before a week-long business trip crushed my groove. In true Kate, whatever it takes style, she had a heart of compassion, understood my dilemma, and over-delivered to make it all good. I can't say enough about Kate's professionalism and special skill set. She is my hero and a true servant leader. And then he goes on a little bit more. And I'm just like, wow, that is amazing. So yeah, appreciate I've just embarrassed you massively potentially. But I was curious, like, how did you help Dondi? Like, why is he such a, yeah, what's the glowing review? Where's that come from?
You know, like, I didn't do that much. All I really do is, you know, I guess if someone can't, you know, how some people can be a bit cagey about giving away their best stuff if that people don't give, you know, an email address or if they're not there to attend live or, you know, I don't know, they're just a bit cagey about. For me personally, I'm happy to kind of give everybody as much as I possibly can. And for those who it's right to work with me then and there for whatever reason, and they're called to do that, then that is brilliant. For the people who can't work with me or can't attend or can't whatever, you know, I will still bend over backwards to give them whatever they need in that moment to move forward and get what they need, you know, however I can help them basically. And I'm so cool with that. Like, if I never get anything in return, absolutely fine. I'm not, you know, I think money's great about what we do. And don't get me wrong, I love money, but I kind of treat everybody the same, regardless of, of if they can be there, if they can attend, if, you know, something else happens, I will just, you know, I'll just give them, give. And as I said, don't expect to receive anything in return. And similarly on the masterclass too, I invite people to take screenshots so that they can implement everything. I try and, you know, like a lot of people just give a little bit of everything and then you have to kind of buy the program to get the rest of it. I want people who are there to really get results straight from the free masterclass. So I'm so into people taking action and as I said, down the track, you know, when it's right, people just ring me in and, you know, that's what goes around comes around. A lot of the time I'll get people just make a sales call and they'll want to speak with me and they won't even ask me how much I charge by the time I speak to them because I'm just giving all the time with everything I have.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Did you make that decision very early on to give everything, you know, give your best stuff away, or did that kind of, that decision come a little bit later? Yeah, what did that look like?
I don't know. I do care about people and I do want them to get results and I want them to get further. And Not everyone's in the position to, to do a high-end course. So I just want to help everyone where they're at, and I want everyone to shine, you know. And I guess it's just I didn't really make a decision about it. I just kind of that's how I roll, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's refreshing because, like you say, there's a lot of. I've been on many, many courses and webinars, and this is kind of a pet peeve of mine where you kind of go through an hour-long webinar and it's like, I haven't learned anything really. It just seems like fluff. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Have you had similar experiences?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. That is my, I guess it is actually, you know, it is a little bit about me because I hate wasting people's time. I never want them to think I even watched a 2-minute video and I didn't get anything out of it. So for me, like part of my ethos is I get in there, work hard and fast and give people as much as they can, and the same in my sessions, as much as they can kind of handle and to give as much value as possible because I really, it really annoys me too. Like when I used to watch a lot more masterclasses when I first started out, and I'm like, you haven't taught bloody anything. All you've done is just talk about yourself and then give us a little bit of a hint of this and then that's it. So yeah, actually, you know what? I think I probably did make the decision back then when I was watching other people's stuff and going, that's just annoying and I never want to be like that. People invest their time with me. That's an investment. That's already a sale. I'm grateful that they're there. And I want them to get value. Doesn't matter, 2-minute video, an hour masterclass, or if they sign up and do a program with me. Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, and it definitely shines through in the LinkedIn videos. I know Agnes, who connected us, she said you must watch these videos that Kate has done. So I did watch a few, and yeah, you can even like there was a few tips you gave away, which I'm sure we can dive into a bit more. Actually, specific sales tactics. And particularly around the closing questions, which I know you've shared with Agnes as well. So I thought it'd be cool to share that with the listeners if you're game. But before we get to that point, I was keen to kind of find out more about the process of working with a client. So once people they've seen a lot of your best stuff, you know, through your videos and also through masterclasses and things that you deliver, what does that process or that transition then look like for you, where you bring someone on board and they start working one-to-one and kind of tying into that? I appreciate this is a very long question, but what is kind of the most common issue you find clients come to you with?
Yeah, there's lots of different, a lot of the time we don't know what we don't know. So with clients, depends on where they are in their own business. A lot of people need some help with their messaging, which is one of my favorite things to help people with. Like, because the way I teach sales, it's very much about, I guess, magnetic, you know, you kind of magnetize the right people to you. And so by the time they speak to you, they're already kind of partially sold. So you don't really have to do any of the major hard yards to kind of sell to them too much. So messaging is super important, and I oftentimes start there because everyone's online now, you can find people pretty much everywhere, and I'm sure if I Googled you right now, I could probably find maybe a lead page. I can probably look at your courses on Udemy, find out a little bit about you there. I've listened to a few of your podcasts, which are just charming. You know, there's so much about you online, as with most of our listeners. So sales messaging is a super important place to start if you're wanting to attract the right clients, and that will often go on your website and on your LinkedIn, on your sales pages, and that's a super important place to start and to get right. So, yeah, I help people with their messaging. So some of my clients come to me with, you know, slightly different problems with their messaging, and I like to, like I've got a, like a little... is it a euphemism? Well, basically an abbreviation of what not to do. So I like to think of your messaging as, or when you're an entrepreneur, you're asking people to kind of get in your vehicle and come on a journey with you. From where they are, which might be a place of discomfort, because a lot of sales are made on the pain, so they're in perhaps a place which is a bit windy and rainy and not that comfortable, and they want to go to this wonderful place and sun and maybe palm trees, not just any place but a very specific place. And with your messaging, you say, hey, I know where you are. I know it's not that comfortable. I know you want to go to this sunny place, not just any place. I know the place and I know how to get you there. So you invite people to get in your vehicle and come with you. That's what your messaging does. So I like to say what you don't want to do is you don't want to invite people to get on this black cab to nowhere. So CAB stands for, C stands for clever. So some of my, I work with a lot of kind of smart entrepreneurs. So some of their messaging can be a little bit too clever, a little bit too philosophical, in depth, a little bit, you know, and I love kind of poetry and working stuff out. But really when people don't know you that well, people have got really short attention spans now, so they will bounce off really quickly unless it's really clear. So clear beats clever every time. The A in CAB stands for all about me, and that can oftentimes be anything from creating a course where you've got like 10 hours of video and you're like, I'm really proud of this course. I've got 10 hours of video and it's got an amazing back end, and that's really exciting to you, but it's not – it doesn't make any sense. The people who you're selling to, they don't really care about it. And the B stands for broad. So a lot of us entrepreneurs think, hey, look, you know, I've got a really great course or program or service and everybody can get results. I know I can pretty much help everybody. But now we're in a global community and pretty much when you try and speak to everybody, you're speaking to no one. So that's another kind of mistake people make in their messaging. So what I like to tell people to do, and I know this is a super long answer, is this mildly, is this making sense so far?
It is. Yeah, it is.
Okay, awesome. So what I like to try and get people to do is you invite them to take the SAS route, which is like knowing people can call in the professionals and take the super fast plane from where they are to get to where they're going. And to do that, they need to make their messaging. The first S stands for specific. So you want to look at the specific messaging that your ideal clients are talking about, that beautiful place they want to go to, like, you know, with, you know, tons of clients or whatever it might be, that is their beautiful sunny spot or their place in the snow, whatever their happy place is. The A stands for all about them. So you always want to put on a little cap as if you're thinking about it from your ideal client's perspective. Does it make sense to them? How is this resonating with them? If it's not really important to my ideal client, can I just leave it out? And it's including on your LinkedIn. Like, you don't want to have your LinkedIn like a CV with all of your experience and stuff. You want to have it talking in the first person as if you're speaking to your ideal client. And then the last S stands for secrets. So one of the great ways to get your messaging down is to do client interviews. And what you're listening for is if they say, or, you know, you say, so what do you really want? And they might say, oh, look, you know, I shouldn't really. So say if you've got a spiritual entrepreneur and that's who your ideal client is, and one of them says, oh, I shouldn't really want this, but I actually really want shitloads of money. You're like, okay, no, that's okay. So what do you want shitloads of money for? And they're like, oh, well, you know, I really want to buy my parents a house. I want to swim in organic food. I want to buy really high-end supplements. I want to support charities. And they get really, you know, juiced about having all this money for these reasons. So if you can then talk about not just having money but having shitloads of money so that they can then buy their parents a house and they can support charities and they can buy, you know, swim around in organic food, all of a sudden you're probably speaking to not just one person but to a whole demographic within your demographic, and you're not just speaking to their heads, you're speaking to their hearts. Because they're like, oh, my gosh, it's like she's in my head, she gets me or he gets me. I think this, you know, they know that little secret sunny place where I actually really want to go. So that can really supercharge your messaging, and that's like taking that that, you know, super fast plane and telling people, hey, get on here and I can get you places.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Kate. Those are super fantastic tips. And to dig into that last one particularly a little bit more, so when you're trying to, I guess, identify the secrets of your target demographic and you're trying to unpick their language, I guess, and then kind of reflect their language back to them, are there any particular tools you can do to actually, you know, do that? Or is it just a matter of having those conversations with clients on the phone, or do you send out forms, for example? Yeah, what does that look like for you?
Sure. Well, yeah, you can do a bit of anything. I mean, I think the best way is to actually have these client interviews because you're building a really great rapport with them. They know they're not there for a sale. You're just kind of like, can I just get 15 minutes of your time? If you've got an email list, you can say, look, you know, I'm putting something together. If anyone can donate 15 minutes of their time, it would really help me out because your opinion's important. And then they know you're not going to sell them anything. And I've always got like some great questions to ask, which, you know, are quite in-depth, and they go deeper and deeper, so it helps them open up, and they already feel good about themselves because they're donating their time. And oftentimes too, you say, look, you know, when I put this thing together, like, no pressure, but can I come back to you and just tell you about the offer? And they're like, hell yes. So they can actually also become clients, which is great as well, because you've already built this rapport. But doing this over the phone is a great way because you do or are able to make a, you know, build a bit more rapport. Certainly over Zoom, face to face is the best. But yeah, you can send out forms via WooFoo if you've got a an email list, and just say, you know, are there any kind of, you know, secret urgent wants that you really want, or is there anything, you know? And this is kind of where you get that question, like, what keeps you up at night? That a lot of people ask, because that's kind of trying to delve into, you know, what's really going on for them, and getting some of this, you know, really important stuff that's bugging them. And it's super important for us as entrepreneurs too, because we then set about solving that problem. Like, how do I solve this problem for real for these people? Not just doing it in my messaging, but how can I now build my whole offer around getting these people to that sunny place? How do I solve this around getting them out of this wind and the cold? Because, you know, I need to go out there, buy blankets. I need to get all stocked up, do whatever I need to do to make this happen for them, because I now know what they need. And that's super important as well, because it carries over not just from that first messaging, you know, from that first hit you get on LinkedIn or the first video they'll watch, but it carries right through to the back end of the delivery of your program or your service, where you're bending over backwards to make sure they get to where they need to go. Because you're a good driver, right? And you've got a great vehicle that works, and you want it to work as well as possible. Yeah, so you want to do that. You can also look at book reviews as a cool thing. Like, you know, if your ideal clients all like a certain book, you can look at their book reviews on Amazon and stuff, and they'll go, oh, you know, I was really struggling with this, and this book really helped me with that, and you know, I've always struggled with this. That's a really good place to get that kind of messaging as well. And yeah, and also groups as well. People are asking questions and saying, you know, hey, anyone got any advice on this? I'm struggling with that, you know, this kind of thing. So that's also a good place to get it.
Amazing. I love the analogies, by the way. I think the cav and the SAS, yeah, I think that in the ship, they're super, super helpful. With the messaging a little bit, digging a little bit deeper, when you're physically writing this stuff out, so do you know, you've talked about things you should avoid doing and the things you should try and include in there. I guess that must be quite hard, right? Because it could, you know, you're trying to jump, I suppose. I'm just thinking, like, as someone who maybe doesn't have much sales background, you're trying to have all these concepts in your head, but actually trying to then get something onto paper or onto screen, onto a website, could be quite tricky. Potentially, I don't know. But yeah, is there any way, you know, would you recommend people just like free write this messaging to begin with, and then kind of use your tools to fine tune it a little bit? Or would you work the other way around? Yeah, what does the actual process of writing it look like?
Yeah. So ideally, you would have done some client interviews, and you'll have everything in bullet points, and you can start to see some seams of gold running through there that is consistent through your ideal clients. So I really love to ask questions. I think it's a really good pattern interrupt. So, you know, do you struggle with, you know, so what are your courses about? Like, I know you're doing a new one on SEO soon, I think.
So currently got one about outsourcing to a virtual assistant, and one about podcasting, and another one about medium writing.
So virtual assistants, right? Say, for instance, you could say, like, you know, are you kind of feeling time poor at the moment? Have you been thinking about getting a virtual assistant for a while, but you're not sure where to go, who to talk to. Have you heard all these horror stories about people hiring people and then firing people and spending all their time training people and not kind of getting anywhere? Well, what if I could shortcut the process for you and help you to get a virtual assistant that is not just affordable but is trained, is going to be able to communicate with you well and just save you the time and effort and money that it takes to find the right person, not just someone who will be with you for 6 weeks, but someone who will be with you for 6 years plus, someone who will be a valued part of your business, someone you can work with and who's going to help you to build the business that you dream of. You know, so that kind of thing. So asking questions is a great place to start. Are you struggling with this? Do you want that? That's kind of how you want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm just going to transcribe what you just said. I think that's perfect, is it? At least for outsourcing. Something else I was keen to dig into is actually around customer experience. I believe you've talked about this on a previous podcast, and I don't know how deep, I can't remember how deep you went into it, but I thought, like, yeah, for people who have, so a lot of listeners to the podcast have their own businesses or at least are thinking about starting their own businesses, and obviously there are there's a lot of things you could potentially start a business on, which I suppose is half the battle, but I think the other battle is actually standing out and actually not just using sales, but I think the whole customer journey of, you know, you're being on these different platforms and then, you know, trying to speak to people. In terms of that actual customer journey, as you've maybe mentioned earlier, is that like a concerted effort on your part? You know, do you know that when you put out a piece of content, for example, that would then lead to a certain part of your messaging, which would then lead to somewhere else? You know, does it all kind of fit together? Yeah, is there like an overall strategy, I guess?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, so yes, the answer is yes. You can get quite strategic about, like, say, you know, in my boot camp, we, like, one of the sessions where we kind of all work together in a smallest group, we write down 40 things to write, which become points to do your content around, also points that can go in your program or your service, and also points that can go into, and that will go into your messaging. So it becomes consistent throughout. And you know that when you are doing messaging, if you're doing messaging on something that people are struggling with or they really urgently want, it's going to make them pay attention, and you're going to get their attention quite quickly. And again, with a question that resonates with them. Like, I know you're going to do an SEO at the moment. If someone's just happens to be going, oh, I'm sick of my page not being found, it's a really great website, I should really look at this SEO thing, and you have this question about, you know, are you sick of being like the internet's best kept secret, you know, do you want to be found by more clients, and you're not, you know, does SEO make absolutely no sense to you, but are you willing, you know, are you ready to start you know, working it out or having someone get it done for you so you can start getting those clients and start being seen and getting your blog read, whatever it is for your clients. So you can then use that messaging to do videos on. So some people on their client journey may not even know they're struggling with a problem until you actually start talking to them about it and start saying, you know, like, people may not know about SEO. Maybe they've just started and they've spent all this time and money on their website, and then they're like, oh, bloody hell, I'm not getting any, you know, any hits on my website. What's going on here? And you might do a video on, like, maybe you thought that you could spend $1,000 or, you know, like more on a website and spend all this time, make this shiny, beautiful, bright new thing, build it and they will come. But no, you know, you've done all of this and it's on the web and it's there, but no one is finding it. And it's really frustrating because you've spent all this time, you've spent all this money, and it's actually a good site. You might even be blogging. And, you know, so what you actually need is you need this thing called SEO, which is search engine optimization. And here's the first thing you need to know about SEO, right? So then you take them through maybe one tip on SEO, and then people go, oh, okay. So the people brand new on their client journey, they'll be like, oh, well, you know, that was pretty cool. You know, Scott told me about a problem I do have, and it looks like I might have to do this SEO thing. And, you know, I'm just going to watch some more of his videos to see what other tips he's got. And then you give them another few tips. And then as they go, then say you might do four videos, and then you'll have a call to action, or you say, look, by the way, guys, for those of you who need help with this and are ready to take that next step, I've got this super awesome new course on Udemy. You can just check it out here, try it, the first week's free or whatever it might be. So by then you've kind of started educating them, you've moved them through that client journey a little bit themselves, and you might also get some people who are brand new to you, but they just happen to need SEO right then and there. They're like, oh, I just saw, you know, Scott, or I just heard Scott do a podcast about SEO, and I like this guy. I kind of resonate with him. He seems really cool, someone I could get along well with. I'll check out his course because I need SEO right now. So you'll capture those people on, you know, at that part of the buyer's journey as well. Yeah, so basically messaging should capture people in different parts of the buyer's journey. And some people might buy with you straight away, and then other people might take 6 months or maybe 2 years to buy from you. But you just keep on giving stuff away and doing your best work, and, you know, you'll get the people you get that are, you know, you're meant to work with and you're meant to help.
Yeah, thank you so much. Great answer, really fantastic answer, and certainly given me plenty to think about. And it's funny, I think the theme that's kind of come through this conversation already is this idea of giving and, you know, not expecting anything in return. But actually, you know, people say that, I hear that so many times, but I don't think everyone actually means it. And I get the sense that, you know, you do, which is really refreshing. And I can only speak from experience. Like, I've been podcasting now just for Entrepreneurs Can Party over a year, but I think I'm podcasting 2 years. And it's only literally in the last month where I've started to add offers for, I'm now doing podcasting coaching, for example, which I never thought was possible, and all these different things. And it's something I try and remind people of, you know, this idea that, yeah, giving without expectation, but, you know, genuinely feeling it in your heart is a really powerful thing.
Well, they say things in other people that you have yourself. And I've got to say, listening to your podcast, that's what I get from you. It's kind of like listening to your best mate, you know, who's telling you about stuff that's working, stuff that's not working, very kind of honest, open, and giving. So I can say that you're definitely one of those people in spades as well. And I'm so glad that you're getting returns on that now. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. Oh, thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, final couple of questions for you, Kat. I really appreciate your time. I've been making notes, not just on my paper, but also sort of in my head as well. And I'm sure when I come back to this conversation, I'll plenty more for me to think about. And I know you have a brand new bootcamp, which I don't know a huge amount of details of, but I'm very keen to find out more. So yeah, would you be able to kind of expand on that for listeners a little bit, your sales success bootcamp?
Sure. So people who have either just started in business and they know, I mean, I believe sales is one of those things you just kind of need to learn. You need to get some training on. So you've just got, so you kind of know what you're doing. Like a lot of people, pretty much all the people I work with who say they hate sales just haven't had any training. And it's kind of like, you know, how can you ever expect to be good at something if you don't know kind of just the basics of how to do it? So the bootcamp is for new business owners or people who have been in business for some time and have been banging their head against a brick wall, who are just like, I can't sell, I hate selling, that kind of person, or new kind of ambitious business owners who know that they need it and they just want to get in there, get it done, get training from the get-go so they can not bang their head against the wall for a few years. It's affordable. I've made it as super affordable as I can make it. My coach hates the investment it is. But we get together in a fairly small group and we get stuff done in 90-minute workshops on the day. And I basically help everybody, because I know where everyone's business is at, I help kind of implement everything and tailor everything to them. So it's not just kind of like, they have to work it out themselves. Because especially with sales training, you need hand-holding because people aren't that confident to start with. So I pretty much give people the copy that they need. I give them the strategies tailored to their business and say, okay, this is the next step. You just need to go out and do that, then followed by that. And then in between, they also get private coaching as well. So because everyone's business is different and where they're up to is different. People are just absolutely loving it. It's a 3-month course and, it covers everything from, your client attraction, marketing, LinkedIn, of course, sales conversations, doing video, getting all your important videos done, coming up with content. So all that good stuff and just getting all of that done. And I know with me, once I got sales training, I used it for my whole life. It was, I did just okay in sales until I got amazing training and then I just shot through the roof with myself with it until I started being an entrepreneur. Then I had to completely re-educate myself and spend another 30 grand on it and learn all brand new stuff so I could get over myself and start selling again. But it is really one of those things that just it pays you for life. And everyone's got the course for life too, so they can go back and revisit it, every couple of years when they grow and just refining their messaging and so on. Yeah, so that's the Sales Success Bootcamp. I'm going to run it again fairly soon. Everyone's welcome to come on a masterclass. Just hit me up on LinkedIn. I'll send you an invite so you can just see how I teach and come and get some value. You're most welcome to come on if you're not thinking about the bootcamp as well, you just want some tips, very, very welcome. I also put out free tips on LinkedIn. Just find me on there as well. Send me a friend request thing and I'll jump on and say hi. Yeah, so that's the bootcamp in a nutshell.
Yeah, perfect. And I can personally vouch for the LinkedIn videos and also your email list. So I signed up I think when we first started talking, so it must have been maybe a month or two ago, and your email tips that you send through, very, very helpful. So I will be applying those and many things we've talked about today for sure. Just in terms of was there like a URL for the Sales Success Bootcamp, or is it just best for people to reach out on LinkedIn to get that from you?
I probably could give you a URL. It's not actually open right now. It's kind of open when I open it because everyone starts at the same time. So I won't give that away right now. Probably either find me through my website, sign up to my list. You'll find out about the masterclasses from there. I don't email that often and I'm always about giving value, so I won't hassle you with too many emails. Yeah, or find me on LinkedIn is probably the best. Either or is a good thing.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, so Kate Hoare Lacey and, katehoarelacey.com. That's amazing. Kate, it's been a real pleasure. I've got one final question for you before we jump off, and you may be aware of what it is as well, having listened to some of my previous podcasts. So I'll set the scene. So imagine we're driving down an American highway or an Australian highway in your case, and we see a big billboard to the side, which could be seen by potentially thousands of people every single year. What do you think you'd write on that billboard? And I'll give you a bit of time, so it doesn't have to be deep. It could be a quip, piece of advice, a story, whatever you want it to be. But yeah, if you could write something on a billboard for thousands of people to see, what would it be and why?
I would say, you are enough. That's it, with a little love heart. I'd love everyone just to know that wherever they're at on their entrepreneurial journey, and look, it can be super fun, but it can also be super challenging. It's one of the best self-development courses we can ever do. So don't worry if you're scared shitless a lot of the time. That's what happens, especially when you're about to kind of level up in any way in your life or your business. Wherever you are right now, you are enough. And that means you're enough right now to start making offers. You're enough right now to actually get out there. You know enough to start building a course of some sort. Don't wait till you're ready. You're enough right now as a human being. And as a business owner, get started. The world needs what you have to offer.
Powerful, powerful. You are enough. Great message to end it on. Kate, once again, thank you so, so much for your time. I hope, I know you've got a couple more calls after this, so hopefully they don't drag it too long into the night. But for everyone listening, I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have. And until next time, I'll speak again very, very soon. Do take care. Hey, hey. So outsourcing to a virtual assistant for less than $5 an hour has been a game changer for me. My VA living in Vietnam is, for one, a lovely human being, and two, she saves me so much time every single week since we started working together in May 2020. She produces these episodes, she edits audio, she sends emails to guests, she creates social media posts, she writes show notes, completes ad hoc tasks, and we spend less than 1 hour a week communicating over Zoom and email. Pretty dreamy, am I right? Well, I now share all these systems, insights, and mistakes I've made in my very first Udemy course, so you too can outsource to a virtual assistant and save over 10 plus hours a week. Since launching in November 2020, over 80 students have enrolled, and the course has received over 20 five-star ratings. To find out more, check out the link in my show notes where you can get an exclusive discount, or visit udemy.com/course/outsource-2-a-virtual-assistant. That's not easy to say. Let me just repeat that. That's udemy.com/course/outsource-2-a-virtual-assistant for more details.